The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
On the Click and Go Travel Podcast this week, we are joined by a very special guest all the way from Washington, D.C., Sunny Sumta. Sunny is the president and CEO of the D.C. Jazz Festival and a native to Washington, D.C. In today's episode, Sunny will chat about the DC Jazz Fest, of which this year is its 20th anniversary, and then Sunny will also chat to us about all the wonders of Washington, D.C. You're very welcome, Sunny, and hi, Paul.
Thank you very much, Jill. Thank you very much for joining us today, Sunny. It's great to have somebody along all the way from Washington, as we say. So you're 5 hours behind us, but you're right here with us in the studio in Dublin, so we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
I'm so excited to talk with you and to share all things D.C.
Good, good.
Great. We can't wait to hear. So, Sunny, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it was like growing up in D.C.?
I'm a Washingtonian born and raised, proudly born in the neighborhood of Anacostia. I went to school in D.C., went to the Duke Ellington School of the Performing Arts and graduated from Howard University. Arts and culture has always been a part of my life, especially as CEO of the D.C. Jazz Festival, where there's so much great jazz. So much great music, dance, and culture right here in D.C.
That's really, really good. And just on the D.C. Jazz Festival, can you give us a little bit of background and overview about what the D.C. Jazz Festival is?
Well, first of all, I have to do a special shout out to our founder, Charlie Fishman. He was manager of Dizzy Gillespie.
Wow.
Yes, and he started the Jazz Festival on a paper napkin in a neighborhood a restaurant called Captain's. In the Northwest neighborhood of Washington, D.C. Charlie Fishman played piano but became an award-winning producer. And when he came back, when Dizzy Gillespie passed away, he realized there was no major jazz festival in D.C. So he called on a few of his friends and started then the Duke Ellington Jazz Festival in 2004. And it started with 12 concerts along historic U Street, which is a wonderful hub where Lincoln Theater is, Howard Theater, where all the great jazz big bands started in the big band era. And he started there and then started doing free concerts on the Monument grounds by the Monument and the Smithsonian. And from there, I came on board to start the then, we renamed it the D.C. Jazz Festival. I'm so glad we did because Washington, D.C. is not just the federal city, but D.C. is. There is only one D.C. and it happens in all the neighborhoods across our great city. And so that's what the Jazz Festival did. It started to do concerts and in regular theaters, concert halls, performance art spaces, churches, but then in non-traditional spaces like lofts, community centers, backyards, porches. And in 2019, right before the pandemic, had grown to 150 concerts over 10 days. It was quite a celebration. And now this year, you know, we really are doing 100 concerts. We're back to doing a fantastic citywide celebration, which happens over Labor Day weekend, which for those of you who are not in the United States, Labor Day weekend happens the first Monday of September. So in our case, it's August the 28th through September the 1st is when Jazz Fest takes off. It kicks off downtown and goes all the way through to the riverfront, to the wharf, where we'll have about 50 concerts over the weekend.
That's amazing. That sounds really, really cool, especially if you're into jazz music.
So 5 days of total indulgence in all things jazz in what sounds like an incredible array of venues.
It is. And I want to just go back to a point that was just made. What really is so exciting about the Jazz Fest is that it brings a lot of the casual fans of the music. And what do I mean? That it's really people that don't really listen to jazz, but they want to come to have an experience, which we know we were talking about that a lot as arts presenters around the world. But people just don't want to come and listen to music, but they want to, you know, have conversations. We have meet the artists, one-on-one conversations with. Can you imagine sitting down and in an audience of a very intimate audience and having a conversation with Samara Joy or Jacob Collier, who's coming this year? That's a big part of it. There's also food, great restaurants down at the Wharf and citywide in downtown D.C. and the Anacostia neighborhood and the Capitol Hill neighborhood. You want to go to, you know, really fantastic venues that also have a food component or a drink. And maybe we'll have a jazz-inspired cocktail, like a Louis Armstrong cocktail.
and a lovely time of the year, you know, kind of end of summer, heading into autumn, really pleasant weather. Like, if anything, it's quite warm at that time of the year in Washington.
It's a really great time to come to D.C. The leaves haven't started to change yet because it is end of summer. But I think it's the perfect weather to come for a jazz fest.
Yeah, it sounds fab. Yeah, it sounds like great. A great excuse to get on a plane and go to Washington.
Yeah, something new, something different to experience as well.
And then I think I was reading, Sonny, that all of the programs are free or affordably priced, making things like really accessible.
Well, that's absolutely right. We're a nonprofit service organization, the DC Jazz Festival. We do year-round education programs. We work with our embassy partners here. We do a lot of free events because we want people to come no matter where they are, you know, all walks of life to come appreciate this great music. So we do, starting on day one, on opening day at Franklin Park, we're having a free outdoor concert. Really excited about that. The ticket prices range from $20. You know, to get into the wharf is $25 for all day.
From
Yes, I mean, you can't go anywhere. I have my festival presenters around the country calling me up and saying, "Sonny, why do you have a general admission price of $25? I said, "Because we want to make sure everybody comes." So yes, that's something that we strongly advertise and promote because we want everyone to come.
And you must get quite a huge amount of people from neighboring states coming in, because like jazz has moved from being quite niche to being so not mainstream, because it is a great, you know, scion of music, but like it's now much more widespread in terms of where it comes into mainstream music and some of the artists that are involved now.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Jazz has become quite the global brand.
Mm.
You can go. Last summer I went to the Umbria Jazz Festival. This year I'm going to Rotterdam to the North Sea Jazz Festival. Toronto has a fantastic jazz festival. Montreal, Montreux, London has a fantastic. I could go on. We could spend a whole conversation segment just talking about how many fantastic jazz festivals are around the world. And why? Because each country brings their own particular folk music in their niche, in their art, in their culture, to jazz music. And so it becomes a little bit different. That's what makes jazz jazz. Yeah. It's very improvisational. It's really about community and spirit. So yes. We have people coming from everywhere. That's why we announce so early, because we want our global fans to plan, to be able to get the best airline tickets and the best hotel rates.
Mm. Yeah, because I guess the city is busy during the jazz festival. You have so many people coming in to participate as well as the spectators to enjoy the performances.
Absolutely. And one of the things that is so fantastic about DC is that the museums, most of the museums are free.
Yeah.
Like, and so when people come for Jazz Fest, they go to the Smithsonian, National Gallery of Art. They really do plan a whole cultural immersion when they're here. Yeah.
Like, Washington is quite unique for Europeans when we're looking at the United States in terms of the number of attractions that are free and just walkable, recognizable, that you want to enjoy from the National Mall to just walking by the White House, getting up and around Capitol Hill, you know, and then out to Georgetown. Like all of these great locations that you have, you are well and truly spoiled in Washington, D.C. in terms of tourism attraction. I think the challenge we have is we have year-round flights out of Dublin to Washington with Aer Lingus. We have flights more or less 10 months of the year with United Airlines, I think, Jill.
Yeah.
From March through to December. So we have very good connectivity from Ireland into Washington. What we really have to do is just inspire people to think more than the politics. That this is possibly one of the best value cities in the United States, the most, you know, really culturally diverse, the most affordable in terms of what you can do when you're there. Like, we were doing a video in Washington this morning and like, you know, you don't often hear the words free when it comes to anything in the United States. Now, that's not a criticism. That's just, it's pretty much the same here. There's, you know, there's not much for free other than the fresh air. So like it really makes it, you know, an option for tourists to think and consider and do. And you have so many great places nearby and so many great things nearby. let alone what you have within the city itself. So, yeah, I think it sounds brilliant. I don't think not many, like from an Irish point of view, I don't think we know about the DC Jazz Festival. I think it's something we could really start pushing out in terms of letting our consumers know, because it is, the appeal of jazz is just now so attractive.
Yeah.
And so widespread. And to be able to do it in an environment like Washington, DC must be just brilliant.
And that time of year, and it just, it sounds great. So it's the Jazz Festival and then all the cool things to do in Washington.
And it's daytime and evening, I guess, Sunny? Or how do you kind of schedule things?
It starts at noon and it goes all the way until nighttime. And we even have a jam session well into the night. So it really is a full day experience starting August the 28th through September 1st.
So you get no sleep for those 4 nights, 5 days.
I get no sleep starting around August 1st.
Lots of preparation for the excitement.
And then, that's of course, right. like in Ireland, like Dublin is obviously the capital. You're the capital. Most of the politicians are also out of town, so it's kind of just you locals plus all of the tourists in for a very nice time and enjoy the atmosphere and just really enjoy the city at its absolute best.
That's absolutely right. Sometimes people think of Washington D.C. as a federal city, but it really is a residential city that has vibrant arts and culture scene, and people come from all over the world during this period to really experience quite a lot of what you just mentioned, our jazz festival, and also everything that DC has to offer with its museums, its restaurants. It's quite an amazing place to be.
So that's a great lead-in. You give us like maybe, you know, a couple of things. You have somebody coming over for the jazz festival, but you know, they also want to take in some of the great sights and scenes within your city. Give us what you would be saying if it was me coming over, Jill coming over for a couple of days alongside the Jazz Festival. What are the must-sees or the things that we should do as like, I've been to Washington twice and I absolutely loved it, but imagine we're rookie tourists.
Well, I love the Smithsonian. I actually interned there. So Smithsonian is always the place that you go for museums. But I actually love the Phillips Collection in DuPont Circle. Yeah. And DuPont Circle is so special because it has a unique neighborhood there with the Phillips Collection. But there's also a Museums Row that happens in that neighborhood. Fantastic restaurants. There's a circle where you can go and watch people play chess and cards. And it's just a very – and Rock Creek Park is right there. And the zoo. We have a free zoo where you can go and experience that. So that's something that I would actually take my family to when I wanted to do a staycation. Also, Mr. Henry's is one of our venues on Capitol Hill, and that's right by the Capitol. But also Capitol Hill has Eastern Market, which is a wonderful place to go and buy local craftsmen and women are there selling. It's fantastic to really see new art and to buy fantastic jewelry that our local jewelry makers here make. We also have a wonderful neighborhood called Anacostia, and I didn't mention that first. I should have, because it is one of my favorites, and because I grew up there. Mm. And there, it's right on Martin Luther King Boulevard. There's so much. There's the arts, Anacostia Arts Center. There's so much. The Busboys and Poets is there, a really fantastic restaurant bookstore. There's just wonderful places in Anacostia where you can go and experience that neighborhood. D.C. is unique in that it has a neighborhood vibration. Where Catholic University is, Brooklyn, there's a fantastic neighborhood over there that also has a Busboys and Poets dance places there. And we have a couple of jazz festival events happening there as well. The Wharf is where we're having the Tentpole Weekend, but the Wharf is where Arena Stage is. We're having our indoor concerts at Arena, which is a fantastic performing arts center where our offices are housed. There's great theater there, but there's also really incredible walkways along the river, and again, places where you can eat, have a cocktail outside. I could go on and on. You asked the wrong person.
No, I think we asked the right person. And if we were to take the jazz festival out of it in terms of time of year, like when do you think is, you know, the right time or the best time from a tourist point of view to visit Washington. Given it is a 12-month city, we totally get that. But is there a time? Do you prefer spring, summer, autumn, winter, or what's your favorite about all four of the seasons? You tell us. You're the guest.
You're asking someone whose favorite season is autumn. And so I want to be anywhere where the leaves are falling and there's incredible picturesque views of D.C., especially along the rivers where you can just see the trees are majestic at this time of year. And when people come during the spring because we have cherry blossoms, right? And it really is a powerful, emotional view of cascading cherry blossom trees, and not just in D.C., but in the, you know, Montgomery County surrounding D.C. But I have to say it's fall because the colors, they pop. It's glorious. And again, coupled with all of the arts and culture that this great city is known for, you can't beat September, October.
Good. So that's your favorite.
Yeah.
And like, but from a tourist point of view, there is just so much to do, no matter how the weather is, if it's cold in the winter, warm in the summer, there's so much indoor, outdoor that you're absolutely going to be ticking those boxes and able to have a great time no matter what time of the year you choose to visit Washington.
Well said. I think you're absolutely right. The immersive experience of culture in D.C. happens every day of the year.
And another kind of standout point, I think, is your transport system and how easy it is to get around. You've a really good metro system. There's some great bike sharing. You've some bike tours. And you've talked about the kind of riverside walk. So, you know, it becomes quite a manageable city to get around. That was my memory of it.
Yes, I absolutely agree that the wonderful thing about D.C. is that you can get around, whether it's by metro. There's four or five different lines that you can take. There's a wonderful bike lane for those who love to bike that will get you all across the city. We also have a number, you know, of ways that you can use our metro bus that will take you, that is really accessible and fast too. So I would say, definitely don't rent a car.
Yeah.
I think you can get around through fantastic public transportation. And we have a nice bike share system here,
which is always good.
Yeah. Nice way to see it. See you on a bike.
So anything we've missed on Washington or anything that we should include in the podcast that might be a useful tip or a hint or any inside view on what tourists should do or anybody heading for the weekend or a couple of days?
Well, I think the most important thing to do is you want to visit Washington.org, you know, Destination DC's website, so that you can really, that website is so fantastic because it gives you an opportunity to look at, to just search based on your interest.
Perfect.
So if you're interested in museums, you could say museums. If you're interested in jazz, or if you're interested in dance or theater, and they will, that website will actually tell you when you're coming, what to expect on that day. So you can make reservations in advance if you'd like. There's so much to do here that's free. And so that's an opportunity where you can say what's free in DC, because they actually have a part of the website just dedicated to that. And I would say, you know, as the person that has been championing the DC Jazz Fest and all things jazz in DC, there is no jazz festival like it here. I've been to jazz festivals all around the world. DC Jazz Fest is very unique in that it's a citywide celebration of jazz. And it really is all kinds of jazz, from big band to straight ahead to soul jazz, gospel, country, bluegrass. There's wonderful ways for anyone that wants to even just dip their toe into jazz to come in and say, oh, this is jazz, to really come and have a strong menu of offerings where you can come and really appreciate this great music.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's a brilliant tip. So Washington.org for all things Washington. And I'm assuming the DC Jazz Fest has its own website too.
Yes. Our website is DCJazzFest.org. Perfect. You can go there, join the mailing list so that you can get all the information for our upcoming jazz festival.
Sounds great. We'll have to put that in the notes. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sunny. We've really appreciated and love speaking to you about all things Washington. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sunny. That was really great. Just lovely to kind of bring Washington to life and the Jazz Festival, something we didn't know about and something that we'll definitely start making our customers more aware of.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you'd like to follow Click and Go on our social media, you can do so for Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. And if you have any suggestions, please email us at podcast@clickandgo.com. Thanks for listening. And thanks again, Sunny. Thanks, Paul.
Cheers, everybody. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you.